BBC Radio Berkshire with John Briggs.
Brian Wilson called it a pocket symphony, and he experimented with it over the course of 17 recording sessions. And they recorded so much, and actually, it's about 90 hours of studio time, 70 hours of tape. In the end, you don't actually know who is playing what on the record because it took so long. And at the time, back in 66, it was the most expensive pop song ever recorded, costing about $50,000 to make. But right now, we need to check the latest details of the biggest technology story of the week. Mr. Fevzi Turkalp from the free tech help website gadgetdetective.com is here, of course. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning, John.
Interesting, that record, by the way, because, you know, I know how you like take. That record has a very high-pitched sound on it. Do you know what makes it?
Is it a theremin?
Oh, you are good. You are very good. Actually, it's not just an ordinary theremin. It's an electro-theremin.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
And for those people who don't know, do you want to describe why a theremin is different from a normal instrument? Because you don't really play a theremin. You don't touch it, do you?
No, you sort of move your hand through space and it affects the pitch. So you don't actually get feedback for your fingers because you're moving your hands through air, effectively.
Oh, Bill Bailey uses one quite a bit, doesn't he, when he's doing his stuff?
Yes, he does. And the nice thing now, you mentioned how expensive that was to produce, you can now get a theremin app on your smartphone or tablet.
No.
For about 79 pence, I think they are.
It was invented back in 1919, did you know that?
I didn't, but my tablet wasn't running then. So.
Right, topics for this week. Old Android phones. We know we like Apple. We prefer Apple, but Android phones are in a bit of a mess. What's happening?
Well, you know, all phones can be subject to this, but perhaps some phones are more equal than others in this respect. Up to 10 million Android smartphones have been infected by malware, that's to say, effectively, a virus. It's quite worrying because this family of malware, which is variously called either Shedden or Hummingbird, actually takes over the phone completely and can basically enable the people who've infected your phone to make your phone do anything they want. Now, at the moment, they're using it to make you click on adverts to make money from the adverts, but they could do anything. They're installing apps on your system that you don't know about that spy on your surfing habits. I mean, anything could be done and any information could be stolen. One of the companies hacked into the servers of these particular miscreants and found that they've got more than 10 million smartphones under their control.
Wow.
And there's been a large spike. And this is difficult. It's difficult for a number of reasons. First of all, they're taking advantage of vulnerabilities in earlier versions of the Android operating system. So even KitKat and Jelly Bean, which are earlier than Marshmallow, which is a more current version, even those are vulnerable. So I guess the lessons for these are as follows. Keep the operating system software in your phone up to date, and if it gets to point where your phone or indeed your tablet can no longer accept the latest one, consider buying a new device, because the thing is that the Google is constantly updating to try and prevent this, but those updates tend to go to the newer versions. Also should consider running some, just as you do on, hopefully you do on a PC or Mac, you should run, you know, anti-malware software. So companies like Checkpoint, Lookout, Symantec, Kaspersky, they all produce mobile products now, and you should really be looking at those and installing
them. Do those only work necessarily when your phone is connected to something with that checking software on it, or can you install Kaspersky and stuff like that on your phone itself?
You can install it to run on the phone itself.
Right.
That's a sort of more recent change, that the software to prevent infection is becoming more sophisticated, more like what you would expect on a PC. And the really devastating part of these infections, by the way, this particular one, is it's what's called a rootkit, which means even when you do a factory reset and take it back to what should be factory settings, the little beggar can survive.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Like a cockroach in a nuclear war. You generally, when you get infected by malware, I've had to do something to allow it to penetrate. So any instructions about what not to open or what not to touch?
Yeah, so in this particular case, they're taking advantage of vulnerabilities in the operating system, so it's quite hard to protect against that. But in general, you do the usual things. You don't visit websites that are dodgy, just like you wouldn't walk down not to walk down a dodgy street in a city, you know, late at night. You have common sense about that. We have to apply similar common sense and not go to suspect websites, certainly not to open attachments from a source that you don't know, or click on links in emails. That's advice that you have to follow, you know, whatever your device is. If you're accessing email, don't click on links unless you know what that link is. And to be honest, even when I receive emails now from people that I know and trust, if I have, you know, any suspicion about it at all, I'll actually telephone the person and ask them. And I know that sounds extreme, but actually that's what we have to do. Or if I'm not sure, I just don't click it.
Well, my view is always, if somebody really wants to reach you that much, they'll try again.
Yes.
If they haven't got hold of you the first time.
Indeed.
Our gadget of the week.
So it's a piece of software. It's called Affinity Photo. It's from a company called Serif, who have been doing graphical software for decades, I think, certainly as long as I can remember. And I thought we'd feature it today, not only because it's a year old, and it's a piece of Mac software, by the way, so it's in the Mac App Store, so this is for Mac users in particular. But it's because also of a change in the way that Adobe have been selling Photoshop. So Photoshop is a premier app. Everyone knows it. It's used by professionals, but also used by, you know, enthusiasts. And the problem is that you can no longer just buy Photoshop or a license for Photoshop.
Tell me about it.
Use it in perpetuity. You have to pay for a license that then you have to keep paying, you know, every month, every year you have to pay. And when you stop paying, you stop having access to it. Now, there are some benefits to that because it means you always have the latest version of the software and so forth. However, if you're not a professional, if you don't use the software regularly and for your income, then it can be expensive. So I was looking around for a good alternative, and Affinity Photo, in terms of its features, pretty much goes toe-to-toe with Adobe. But the difference is that instead of paying an annual fee, it's usually £40 to buy, and that's it forever. At the moment, because it's their birthday, they've reduced it, so it's £29.99. So I thought that's pretty good. That software, for example, it supports, it's completely compatible with Photoshop's PSD file, so it can take a Photoshop file, edit it, and resave it into that format. It won the award from Apple as their best app of 2015 in any category, and also best imaging software 2016 by an organization called Teepa, which is well respected. So it's got live retouch tools, it's got non-destructive editing, it can process raw images. It's easy to use, which is nice, but it's got a lot of the pro features that are associated with Adobe's products.
And briefly, how does it compare with something like the one product you can buy from Adobe where you don't have to pay a subscription, which is Adobe Photoshop Elements?
Yeah, it's a good deal more sophisticated than that.
Oh, really?
It really is closer to, I mean, it's not obviously not identical, but I would say actually its ease of use is better. But it in terms of function, I think it's closer to the full version of Photoshop.
I'm going to look it up.
Not the cut down version of Elements.
And you're giving it how much?
I've given it 4 stars.
4 stars
out of 5.
Yeah. And more information, of course, on gadgetdetective.com. Finally, somebody's been sitting in the front room of their bungalow in Cambridge and doing something rather strange.
I know. I mean, and I did think get a life, but actually it's quite interesting. There's a chap called James Newman who's finished work on something called the mega processor. So we're used to microprocessors, and we're always told, oh, you know, this processor has this many millions or billions of transistors on it. Well, James Newman decided that he wanted to learn about how transistors worked and how they formed computers. So he started building a computer out of the individual transistors. He's finished building it. It's sitting in his bungalow in Cambridge, and I can only think it must be taking up, well, I don't know how big his bungalow is, but this device is about 10 meters wide and about 2 meters high. So it's quite colossal. He's spent about £40,000 on it so far. And to give you an idea, it's still not nearly as powerful as a cheap desktop processor or laptop or even what you get in your tablet. At the moment, he's configured it to play Tetris. The display is 10,000 individual LED lights. as I say, and the thing weighs about half a ton.
So it's not moving it in any time.
Well, no, he says, I doubt I'll be able to sell it. It's quite right, but my dream is that it goes to a museum or educational institute. Look, I think this is a great thing, and we take for granted, what's in our processes, and something like this, if you look at what he's done, it enables you to not only to understand how the processes work, but appreciate just how much is crammed into a processor that is so very powerful. We always say, more processing power than went to the moon and all of this sort of thing. Yeah. But you know, it just shows you this, without the miniaturization that we've had to date, our watches would weigh tons.
Always a pleasure, never a pain. Thank you so much, Fevzi. Good
pleasure
to speak to you. Gadgetdetective.com, and remind me, you're at gadgetdetective on Twitter, yes?
Yes, so you can follow me there. You can come say hello or ask for tech help.
Have a great week, Fevzi. Great to talk to you.
Cheers.
Fevzi Turkalp with all the technology news that is fit to print.
Do you feel like doing a better singing?
BBC Music. Yeah, yeah.